I'm your host, Jennifer Han, and welcome to the Brexit Podcast. One major factor in the public debate thus far has been trade, which you can see, for example, in the hard versus soft Brexit distinction, which describes varying degrees of access to the single market and resulting EU regulations. But how are the people most affected by this issue, namely UK businessmen and women, feeling about the EU, the upcoming negotiations, and the UK economy? That's exactly what the UK 200 Group decided to find out by conducting a survey of the general mood. For this episode of the podcast, Tim caught up with Jonathan Franks, the author of the report, and a principal at accountancy firm Hillier Hopkins, to discuss the survey's most thought-provoking results. If you enjoy the show, please do rate us on your podcast platform of choice, and while you're there, you might as well subscribe so you get all upcoming episodes sent straight to your phone. If you want to send over some suggestions for future guests, or, you know, you just want to say hi, you can also find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast.
Righty, it's a warm welcome to our next guest, who's Jonathan Franks from the UK 200 Group. And we've got him on to talk about the opinions from the business community on Brexit. So, Jonathan, I guess the first question is, what is the UK 200 Group?
Hello, Tim. Thanks for having me on. The UK 200 Group is an association of firms of accountants and lawyers. It was formed, I think, in the 80s, and it was intended to provide a quality assurance service for the member firms of accountants and lawyers. Acts for across the firms that are members, there's about 150,000 small and medium-sized businesses that are looked after. So it's actually got a very large audience, and I'm a partner in one of the member firms, Hillier Hopkins.
Right, I see. Well, I'm going to move on in a little later. One of my questions is how much we can rely on the survey, but I guess you have a broad base, and that's definitely a good start. But what was the survey that you conducted, and why did you do it on Brexit?
Okay, so originally this started as part of our own blog site. In fact, at Hillier Hopkins, we became engaged very much, as I think so many people did after the run up to the referendum. People were just so polarized, and the information was so all over the place that we started getting interested in it. And then following the referendum, I'm sure you remember, there was just mayhem politically.
Yeah.
And so it was...
Still is, one could argue.
One could indeed. And we found it slightly amusing but slightly worrying. What we wanted to do was to actually say, what does this mean to our client base? Because I think our starting point was there is no such thing as an expert in Brexit, or Brexpert, or whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
They just don't exist. It's never happened before. So we thought the best thing to do was to ask some of our clients. And we did this initially within Hillier Hopkins individually. Simultaneously, the rest of UK 200 had done, in the run-up to the EU referendum, a campaign for clarity, and they'd had some fascinating debates, which I think there was a YouTube broadcast or whatever they're called, of this debate of the politicians and so on. They actually tried to bring some clarity to it, and obviously one thing we know is that there was very little clarity.
Yeah.
So we then decided, well, let's actually do something a little bit bigger. And we tried to get out to a lot of clients during August, which was a time when, at the time when we started the survey, we wanted to ask people what they thought, what was happening to them. Obviously, August is not a great time to be asking people anything in business. They're
sure.
On holiday. But we wanted to get some sort of feel, because at the time we believed that we were going to have a new prime minister on the 8th of September, if you recall.
Yeah.
And so we focused on the 8th of September, and the 8th of September was also the day that we set to have a forum of members of the UK 200 to discuss Brexit and what it means for our clients.
Okay, yep. So what sort of things did you ask them in the survey then?
Specifically, we wanted to know firstly a bit about them, obviously, and who we were talking to. We were a bit cheeky, and we asked them how they voted as well. And then we were asking them whether or not they were concerned, and the results of that in itself were quite interesting. We asked them what they felt they were concerned about, if they were concerned. If they weren't concerned, why not?
Mm-hmm.
What they thought the outcomes might be, what they were worried about. And we were literally just trying to get a feel for the overall atmosphere in the business community.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of professional advisors, and to some extent we're slightly cloistered. And it's really good to actually get some feedback in from what the wider business community are doing, and
certainly,
particularly in smaller businesses that have no voice at all.
So when they were away in August, you wanted to ascertain whether they were just simply relaxed and on a break, or whether they were running away from the whole thing and might never come back.
Well, we know that those who didn't answer must have been running away, yes. I think you're right. I mean, it is unfortunate that the timing of things, I'm sure that government chose their timing very carefully, but it was unfortunate that the timing of things was in August, which probably limited our ability to get results.
Yes.
But it was enough to give us a statistically valid, if not overwhelmingly potent, idea of what was going on. We could see some trends, at least.
So what are those trends, and tell me what's going on?
Right. Well, I mean, the first thing that we found that was particularly interesting, and bear in mind, I suppose, that our starting point is that the vote was 52-48, so whatever happens, 48% are now going to be unhappy. We found that despite having lost the vote, 38% of the Remain voters in our survey were actually happy that there should have been a vote, and they felt that it was perfectly valid. We felt that sort of flew against the accusation that people have come up with regularly, that Remain voters were just bad losers because they got, and it's not fair.
Okay.
So
four in every ten felt that it was a fair democratic process, and it should have happened the way it did.
Of the Remain voters themselves.
Yeah.
So that in itself we felt was quite important. We also found that of our sample, 53% were concerned about things. 41% actually said they weren't worried about anything,
right,
which we felt was rather a positive sign.
Yes, I think a lot of people would have guessed that more people would have expressed sort of concern on that one. Yeah.
Absolutely. I actually was expecting it to be far more.
Yeah.
far more weighted towards the worry side of things.
Of course.
And interestingly, to be honest, the statistics of the actual questions that we asked are interesting in themselves, but it's the comments that people have left us that we found particularly engaging, because that allowed us to understand what people felt in their own words rather than our words. And it became very interesting that those who were not worried were fundamentally passionate about the future and very positive about things. There was as with everything with this whole referendum, it's incredibly polarized. Mm. You either want immigration or you don't want immigration. You believe that the world is going to be great, or you think it's all going to go to pot and everything's going to dissolve. And that seemed to be what carried through the survey. There's a lot of polarization, which is, I think, consistent with what I read in the papers as well.
Yes, absolutely. Now, last Friday, the Office of National Statistics released the economic growth figures for the second quarter.
Yeah.
Did those findings chime with the results of the survey?
Well, very much so. It was very much a nothing's changed outcome. Everything seemed okay. In fact, it was slightly improved, I believe, the ONS results. And our survey, one of the questions that we asked everybody, whether or not they were worried about Brexit, was what's happened. And very interestingly, the vast majority said there was very little change in almost any of the measures we gave them, except general worry.
Right, yeah.
Which I think, you know, sort of everybody's entitled to that, I guess.
Of course.
But I mean, we talked about, you know, whether your sales are up or down and whether you think they're going to be up or down, but particularly whether they are up or down. Are you having problems with your EU business partners? Are you seeing issues with staff and so on? Have they improved or deteriorated? And almost invariably, the answers were strongly in the no change column. There were a few that were slightly upset because we had a proportion of importers within the population that we sampled.
Yeah. Yep.
And obviously, they had been dramatically affected by exchange rate falls, and will be even more so now in the current in the current position. But once again, if you're an importer, you probably are used to the idea of exchange rates going up and down a bit. Unfortunately, it's rather a loss at the moment, and people have every reason to be concerned about that, I suspect.
You've started the Brexit Forum, the UK 200 Group's Brexit Forum.
Yes.
So, you're taking this issue very seriously. What's the Brexit Forum about? And people get involved, businesses get involved in that?
At this stage, what it's about is trying to get to create an environment in which initially the professional advisors that are members of the UK 200 group can try and establish what's going on. This is uncharted territory. We are, you know, completely without any map at all. No one knows what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do is to say, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Every day there's another something that comes out which requires some thought, and we're moving therefore to get ourselves in a position where we can quickly disseminate information amongst our 100 odd 150 members, whatever. I'm not sure exactly how many members there are in UK 200 now, but
yeah,
we can get information out so that they can get it out to their clients. We're looking at various different options. So the 8th of September was the inaugural meeting, as it were.
And
the purpose of our survey was specifically to inform that discussion. It wasn't really for any other purpose. It gave us an opportunity to have the discussion, to decide what we wanted to do. And UK 200 is very, very keen to take a lead role. We don't feel that we have any mandate to represent our clients to anybody. We're not being hubristic about it, but we do feel that we have every duty really to try and help our clients.
What are some of the immediate challenges you think the clients face?
Probably exchange rates are the big thing at the moment, obviously, for anybody that's importing, although there's also the advantage of the reduced pound for those who are exporting. I think at this stage, people are getting very nervous about their staff. There are members of the UK 200 group, for example, who act predominantly for farmers.
Right.
They are very concerned about the short-term employment issues that they have, where they do generally employ foreign staff.
Yeah,
There are many other companies that are suffering or potentially will suffer those issues. But because nothing has actually changed at the moment, the reality is that most of this is more the fear of fear rather than any specific thing that has happened. And overwhelmingly, in the results of the survey, we found the same thing, that every element of questioning resulted from a fear of the unknown.
Yeah, the uncertainty.
You know, I mean, the many small businesses are not directly affected by macroeconomic change, but, you know, in itself. You can see that the bankers will be massively buffeted around by big macroeconomic changes, but a small business isn't. However, when you the knock-on effects as you go down the line and the food chain, if you like, is that sooner or later everyone gets hurt, and so you know, there's a huge amount of concern there, and I think we will, based on Mrs. May's speech yesterday, I suspect there will be a lot more concern about how that might impact on companies from what we've seen in terms of the new policies that she's espousing, because there seems to be a move towards centrist control from government, which is slightly nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Are there some steps that small businesses should take now that would help them?
I suspect only if they're involved in import and export, where they need to be looking closely at the currency markets and dealing with hedging. At this stage, I think that small businesses need to hold their nerve, watch carefully what is actually happening, and talk to their professional advisors a lot, because there will be a lot of changes in tax legislation. There will be a lot of changes in other sorts of regulation over time, for sure. But in the short term, we can also fairly safely conclude that very little is going to happen between now and March.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if the government lives up to what it says, there will be some fairly dramatic changes. I just don't know what they will be.
Are there some pressing questions that are unanswered for you personally? And is there somebody that you would like to hear from on Brexit who's been a little quiet at the moment?
Well, I think the one of the biggest noises before the referendum was Mr. Johnson. We hear virtually nothing from him these days. I think he was almost silent in the Conservative Party conference. Mm. And it would be very interesting to know what he's up to. I think, to be honest, what I would like to see, and I think what would do business good, is to see a degree of silence from government until they've actually done the deal, which is what Mrs. May promised originally, in fact,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
then over the last few days has actually made a load of announcements. But I don't think that huge amount of speculation is good for anybody in the end. Slightly goes against the grain for many of us, I guess. We all like to talk about these things, but
And I guess with Theresa May's first Tory party conference, she needs to be seen to be making some kind of impact.
I guess that's right. I mean, the worry that I have, if I can be slightly controversial, is that much of the Leave campaign was about getting rid of an unelected interventionist government from Europe. And from what I've read in the last couple of days, I think we might be going now having a sort of unelected interventionist government in Westminster instead. They seem very keen on getting very heavily involved in a lot of minutiae. I'm a bit nervous by that, I have to say.
Yeah, that's definitely a question we should put to Boris Johnson when we can get him to talk.
Oh, yeah, I'd be very, very interested to hear what he had to say. There are a lot of the big Eurosceptic noises have been fairly silent over recent times, but I think Boris is obviously the big noise. And actually, the other side of that is that I'd also be very interested to hear from John Redwood, for example, who was always a very non-interventionist Eurosceptic. I'd be fascinated about his views as well.
Yeah. And just finally, if you were having to fill in your own survey, would your responses have been positive or negative, or where do you think Britain sits today?
Well, I'll be honest and say I was a reluctant Remain voter in the first place.
Okay.
Put my cards on the table.
What does reluctant Remain voter mean?
I was very much in that camp that where the heart didn't really like Europe very much, but the brain said, "Do you know what?
It makes sense.
I'm a coward. just sheer cowardice." But then I think where we are now, I have no particular political allegiances at all, but until the Tory party conference at the weekend, I was actually feeling very positive. I have to say that what I heard in terms of the idea that companies might have to report how many foreigners they employ, and in terms of the Prime Minister's sort of insistence that they want to take control of almost everything in our lives.
Yeah.
I found it all dismaying, if you'll pardon that pun.
Yeah, sure.
And,
yeah.
I became a little nervous with the whole situation. So I wonder whether. I think the point about where we're going forward is whether or not government actually, this shouldn't be politicians doing this at all, bluntly. Politicians they should come up with the policy. Well, we've had the policy, we had a referendum, the policy is we're leaving Europe. That's the deal. Politicians don't really have the skills for the negotiations. They don't have the skills or experience at all. You know, business people, my clients, have huge amounts of skill in this sort of area, but they can't do it because it's not their job. But the civil servants are there to deal with these sorts of things. And I think, unfortunately, what's happening already is that Brexit is being politicized rather than being dealt with as a business and trade and economic issue. And that really does concern me.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's probably a really good point to end on. Now, if people want to find out more about the UK 200 group, where should they go?
So that is uk200group.co.uk, I hope.
Great.
I'm not very good with web addresses. They can also get to us at hilliahopkins.co.uk as well.
And that's it for today. I really hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please do feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming, and Warren Pohl, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin McLeod.